It's the Plan B After Show podcast with Brock and Hunter. It's not better, just more.
Let's do it. The podcast, Brock and Hunter, the Plan B After Show podcast, as always, brought to you. Hell, it's podcast time, I guess. Of course, as always, your podcast brought to you by Gilson Cycle, 1492 Pipestone Road in Benton Harbor. Getting your cycles fixed up and fixed up right, man. Hey, when it's wintertime and you're kicking yourself because you didn't go out riding because your motorcycle wasn't working, don't say we didn't tell you to take it to Gilson Cycle, you dumb son of a bitch. 269-876-0882. So Hunter and I, we've made up our minds. It's not like we really need to explain this, but every Friday, what are you doing over there?
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's a water bottle. I think it's really biodegradable, so it's extra. God, isn't that annoying?
You are the worst. Between your eating and watching your goddamn videos over there. Jesus. I hope that water bottle gets lodged in your fucking throat.
Yes. I got a Sun Chips bag over here, too.
I hope you're like all of our aquatic life in the ocean. I hope you die because of that plastic. Anyway, I was saying that every Friday we do facts and opinions. Five facts, five opinions. But we enjoy doing it so much. I said, you know what? Screw it. From here on out, the podcast is five facts, five opinions. We have the most fun with that. It's random. And so anyway, here you go. Not that I need to explain myself. It's our fucking podcast. We can do what we want.
Deal with it.
So here you go. Five facts and five opinions. Fact number one. The first Christmas card was published and sold in 1843, the same year as Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
I think cards are stupid.
I do, too. I was going to say that I am over cards. And, you know, it's sad.
You don't even write. A lot of people just write their name on top and then sign their name at the bottom. Or, no, they write your name up. Dear
Hunter.
Yeah. And then it's a pre-made message.
Now.
And they sign it. It's like, fuck, it's stupid.
I will say, you know, I think that's just, like, my mom still sends cards with notes. My grandma does. But I really do think in the next probably 20, 30 years, we're going to see cards really take a dive. Because I don't do it. We can do it on text message. We can do it through, you know. And as we're trying to save the environment, do we really need to be cutting down trees to send something to someone that they're going to look at and then throw in the trash? How long do you keep a card? I keep it for like a month, and then it goes in the trash, you know?
No, it's gone as soon as I'm away from that person.
Yeah.
I don't keep them.
You do that thing. You do what everyone does when you're at a party and you open the card and you pretend not to notice the money in there. And you're like, oh, this is very sweet. It's like, no, just give me the money. You could have just given me the money and saved the tree.
Seriously. I don't even like, hell yeah, thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that. You saved yourself some money, you know.
I've actually gone to, if I do make a card, I kind of just do a self-made card. Like, I'll just take a piece of paper, fold it in half.
That's better.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Dude, what's better? Remember those notes you used to get back in high school or at school? And you'd get one from a girl, and then you'd go to your other class when you're away from her, and you'd open it up and read it?
Yeah.
Like, that was exciting. Yeah. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
But if she would have given me a card, I'd have been like, eh.
You remember Valentine's Day cards? Oh, my God. Nowadays, you have to give one to everybody. Dude, it was so brutal back when we were at school, man. They didn't give
us
shit.
Send a mass text.
Yeah,
there you go.
Anyway.
Let's get it over with.
1843. Thanks, Hallmark. Fact number two, opinion number two. In China. Some cops prefer guard geese over guard dogs because geese are more territorial and have better eyesight. You know my stance on geese, right? On birds. Whenever I see someone running from a goose, I'm like, fucking sack up, Nancy. It's a bird. You know what you do? You grab that.
Have you ever been bitten by a goose, though?
Yes. I grew up on a farm. They're birds. They don't have teeth. You just sack up. I see grown men running from birds. You know what, goose? I'm going to catch you, and I'm going to have you for Christmas dinner. All right? I'm going to roast you. Grab it by the neck and whip. It's a bird, man.
I have seen them. The experiences I have with geese or gooses or whatever the damn word is.
Yeah.
Is on golf courses.
Yeah.
You know, they're all over golf courses, man. So if you get near any of those eggs.
Yeah.
You do have, like, dude, I got a club in my hand.
Yeah.
It's this club.
Dude, I will.
You want to go 150 yards that way?
I will five finger death punch a goose in the beak, man. It's a bird.
Here's another thing, though. Have you ever been attacked by like a bird that's flying, that's up in the air? Like so that happens on the golf course too. If you go near a tree, that like a certain type of bird. There's one a pawpaw.
Yeah.
And dude, it'll dive bomb you,
dude. Unless
it's scary, because you can't really see it coming, dude.
No. Unless it has talons, unless it's a bald eagle, I'm not gonna be afraid of a bird.
Pluck your eyeballs right out of the sockets, dude.
Mr. Hunt, you're scaring the men. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Oh my God! No, I don't worry about geese. All right, a dog. Yeah. Are you kidding me? You'd rather have a goose over a dog? Shut up. Yeah, maybe if it's a chihuahua. Even a chihuahua is more terrifying.
Yeah. You put a goose up next to a pit bull. I think you're gonna
exactly. Exactly. Stupid ass guard geese. Come on. Fact number three. Opinion number three. The word anorexia just means loss of appetite. Anorexia nervosa is the correct name of the eating disorder. Huh? I didn't know that. So anorexia is just, I have anorexia. I'm not hungry. That actually is, you could say that. But anorexia nervosa is the correct name. Huh.
Yeah. I feel bad for anybody that goes through that. It's just.
I don't know if I'd go around saying, I'm feeling anorexia right now. I'm not hungry. It's like, oh, geez.
You know?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, too. It's like, it's weird because it's like, do they think they look good? Because you can almost tell, like, hey,
I think it stems from body dysmorphia, I think is what it is, where you think, and I actually, let me look that up here. Body dysmorphia is a disorder, is a mental health disorder in which you can't stop thinking about one or more perceived defects or flaws in your appearance. A flaw that appears minor or can't be seen by others, but you may feel so embarrassed, ashamed, anxious that you may avoid social. So it might not be the same, but there's just part to it because you become anorexic because you don't think you look good. You think you look fat and you're not, you know, so that might be a part of it.
You care about how other people look at you so much.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a point in everybody's lives where you're just like, fuck it. Like you hope. Like, who cares what other people really? Once you discover that part of your life, everything kind of opens up a little bit, I think.
Well, think about
it. It's not like I don't care what I look like.
No.
But like, if you're going to say something, I'm like, whatever. You know, like, that's your opinion. Like, once you get to that point in your life, I think a lot of doors open up in your brain.
Yeah.
You know?
You hit the nail on the head where it's, you still, you know, being healthy. It's not like, oh, I'm 500 pounds. Who gives a shit? You know? But, you can't worry about what other people are like, I don't care that I wear cargo shorts. Like if people want to say, oh, what are you wearing, cargo shorts? But yeah, fuck you. They're comfortable. You know what I mean? Like that's what you can't worry about. And you also got to think about it too, is that think about the most beautiful woman in the world. There's people that don't think she's pretty. You know what I mean? So it's just, if you're going to sit there and you know, and worry about that, you're going to drive yourself insane.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's other things you should be worried about.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah. Like guard geese. Like guard geese.
Yeah.
Fact.
The fucking universe is exploding. Anyway, keep going.
We're all dead. Fact number four. Opinion number four. New York City has a larger population than 38 states. I've been to New York. It's a good spot. You ever been to New York?
So 38 states combined.
Not combined, but 38. Yeah, 38 separate states. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, man? I did go to New York one time. Ben and I, when Ben was working for Whirlpool, we took a trip out there and took a couple appliances out there to a Whirlpool that was in New York City. Dude, it's crazy.
Too many people.
Anytime I go into the big city like that, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel, I already know how small I am.
Yep.
You know, it makes me feel even smaller.
What's really great about a big city like that is all the different things you can do. Like I love, you know, all sorts of different cultures, foods. So it's great as New York. You can go, like we went to Chinatown. and like going and actually sitting down at a legit like Chinese restaurant. Like I'm talking like ducks hanging in the window Chinese restaurant. And like it is so good. Yeah, that's what I do like about big cities like that, is that it is a melting pot and you can do all these great things. There's shows to do. But with that also being said, there's too many fucking people. Like it's just it's too many people in one spot.
There's so much. Like I feel like every time I go to the city, I'm just like, oh my God, like there's stuff everywhere too, and everything's built up, you know. So it's like you can go into a building and spend pretty much the whole day in that building and not see the same thing twice.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's just different. It's weird. Growing up around here and then going to the city is weird to me.
In the city. Anyway.
You know, one thing I noticed about Chicago when I went to Chicago one time is I was walking along the street. I think I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again, so deal with it. You know, I'm looking around at people like, this is great. I'm in Chicago. Dude, everybody looking at the ground and just getting to where they're going. Like, no conversation. Nah, nothing.
It's a rat race, man.
Dude, it's weird. Yep. It's like a bunch of ants, dude.
Yep.
They're all working together to make this
thing
grow. Ants
marching one by one, man. That's what it is. So I like a slower pace for sure. All right, let's wrap it up. Fact number five, opinion number five. The first non-white player in the NBA was Asian. He was a Japanese-American named Wataru Misaka, and he played in three games for the New York Knicks in the 47-48 season.
Boy,
I'm gonna look up
how things have changed,
dude. How things have changed, dude. You watch those old films, it was so white, it was just the whitest sport ever.
like, who was the one who the first guy to figure it out was like, hey, you know, like a
dude, he was 5'7
athletes over here,
he was a 5 foot seven point guard.
it wasn't the NBA, get out of here,
yeah.
Yeah, like I said, the first guy to figure it out, like, hey, got a couple guys over here. They're like 6'10".
Yeah.
You know, shoot it out of, you know, they can dunk from like half court, dude. Like, put them in. Let's play them. You know.
I'm just looking at these old timey photos. Oh, my God, dude. These guys wouldn't stand a chance in the NBA today. They would just get fucking murdered. I mean, dude,
it's like the all-star monsters compared to like
the photos look like they're from a high school yearbook. I mean, these guys, my God, dude, they would just be straight up annihilated.
They didn't even have a 3-point line.
Dude, when was the first dunk? in the NBA. I would look up the first. What? I would look up the first dunk in the WNBA, but there hasn't been one. So
there hasn't been. Dude, that's terrible.
1944, college basketball saw its first ever dunk when Oklahoma A&M's Bob Foothills Curlin dunked by accident.
What was his name?
Old Bob Foothills Curlin. He dunked by accident.
Oh. What?
I'm reading this story. Okay, so first dunk in NBA history. Believe it or not, dunking was not around long before Zion Williamson. In fact, dunking, the most efficient, arguably most exciting shot in basketball, is about 56 years older than Zion himself. Oklahoma A&M's Bob Foothills Curlin dunked by accident. Oh, so Curlin, one of the first 7-foot centers, is credited with the first dunk in college basketball history when his Oklahoma A&M Aggies, which has since been renamed, blah, blah, blah. The ball happened to be under the basket, and I got up and stuffed it in. That started it, I guess, the late Curlin told Orland Sentinel in 2012. It was an unintentional accident. It wasn't planned, just spontaneous plays and play in Philadelphia. Ooh, Temple won the game 46-44.
Jesus, dude. Jesus.
They would just be murdered today.
It's just hard to believe. Like, dude, you're 7 foot. Just go up there and do it. Just put it in with both of your hands. What? That's why people are, that's what I'm saying. People are stupid. just
the yakety sacks is in the background the whole time they're playing.
It's like, wait, I can do that? It could take two hands. Put it in the hoop, huh?
Unbelievable. Well, anyway. Jesus. Yeah. All right, that was a good one. There was a lot of good facts in that one. Anyway, folks, that's going to do it for Brock and I. Your facts and opinions on the Plan B After Show podcast brought to you by Gilson Cycle. We'll see you back here tomorrow or whenever the hell you're listening for more facts and opinions. Here's a word from our sponsor.
You ain't coming.
I can't. Come on. What's the matter? Your old lady won't let you?
Yeah, what's the matter? Your mama said you can't?
My bike quit. All right? It's my bike. My bike! My bike!
What's the matter with you?
Just a nightmare, woman. Go back to sleep.
Don't let a broken bike blow your chance to ride.
Gilson Cycle eliminates nightmares with quick service turnaround on most motorcycles. See Larry Gilson at Gilson Cycle, Napier and Pipestone, Benton Harbor.